Okay, so we began a few weeks ago in this series of lessons talking about your God is too small if. Okay, now in this what we're looking at is our concept of God and the things that we understand about God, where we know the Bible teaches us that God is, first of all, omniscient. In other words, that He knows everything that there is to know. He's all-knowing, we would say. He is omnipresent in that He is everywhere, all at the same time. There is nowhere that you can go where God is not. Okay, so the whole idea of hiding from God, okay, forget that. All right, because wherever you go to hide from Him, He's there. Okay? And then He is omnipotent. In other words, He is all-powerful. There is nothing in this universe that even begins to come close to the power of Almighty God. So we know these characteristics of God. Okay? And then we also know when it comes to different things going on in our lives, and we say this, nothing is impossible with God, right? But yet, we continue so often to limit God or to put limits on God and what we think He can or will do and so forth. So in other words, we in a sense kind of have this theological box that we try to stuff God into that basically says this is what God can and can't do and this is what God does and doesn't do and what He will and will not do. And that's our theology and how we look at God. And what that basically is this box that is our view of who God is. We say things like, well, I know nothing's impossible with God, but He can't fix my marriage problems. He can't heal my grief. He can't forgive me, and so on and so forth, and just fill in the blank at whatever it is you might be struggling with and say, well, I know God can do everything but this. And that's oftentimes how we look at God. And if that's what we're doing, then our God is too small. And keep in mind that as we've been saying all along, it's not God that's too small, it's our faith. See, when we're saying this, it's there's something wrong with our faith that says God can't do these things. Well, this morning, in this particular part of our study, we're going to be looking at this question. Your God is too small if He can't bridge the gap. Okay? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it has to do with a lot of things that go on in our lives where we see this big gap between the problem and the solution that we're facing at whatever time in our life. And we say, well, there's no way that this can be overcome. There's no way that this is going to be fixed or things of that nature, which then oftentimes leads us to this place, hopelessness and despair. That we look at whatever is going on in our life and we just feel like we're overwhelmed and there's no solution to this. There's no way this is going to work out in any good way. And so the situation is hopeless. And unfortunately, there are too many Christians who are feeling like this picture here, like they're just kind of locked away in a cage or behind bars somewhere. And they can't be free of the hopelessness and despair that they feel at whatever the circumstance or situation is that's going on in their life at the time. And someone comes along and tries to encourage and says, oh, but wait, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Don't give up. And then someone else comes along and says this. Due to budget cuts, the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off. And there goes all that hopelessness and that despair comes rushing back in. I thought maybe, but then, no, the light's off. We get those feelings, that overwhelming feelings of hopelessness. And so there are a lot of people who I think live at the corner of discouraged and hopeless in their lives because they don't see any way that whatever it is they're facing at the time in their life, they don't see any solution. They don't see any way out of this. or any way that this is going to work out in a good way for me. And that could be marriage and family struggles, maybe between husbands and wives or parents and children and the struggles and the issues that we face there. Or maybe it's extended family, and I know a lot of you here struggle with different issues and problems that are going on with extended family in your lives. Well, maybe it's health issues. We got a lot of that going on too, don't we? Maybe it's financial problems. A lot of that going on. And on the list can go of the issues and the struggles, the things that we look at in our lives and face and say, it's hopeless. I don't see any way out of this. And as you've heard me talk about many times before, this is what I refer to as Red Sea events in our lives. Those times when we find ourselves, like the Israelites, standing on the shore of the Red Sea and seeing the Egyptian army coming up behind and seeing, there's no way out of this. This is not going to work out good. And so, for many, many people, how we would respond to those circumstances to say, been there, done that, and I bought the Red Sea t-shirt. This is not going to get any better. Well, let's take a look at those Israelites and their circumstance and situation. God had proven His power over the Egyptians over and over again through these various plagues that He sent upon the Egyptians. And finally, after the last plague, the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh finally reneged and he allowed the Israelites to leave. So the Israelites packed up all their stuff and they left from the land of Egypt and they were headed toward the promised land. And somewhere along the line here, Pharaoh realized what he had done. He and all of his officials said, wait a minute, what have we done here? We've just lost our slave labor. And they decided to go back after them and bring them back to Egypt. By that time, the Israelites had reached the shores of the Red Sea. And here's what the Bible tells us. When the Israelites looked and they saw the Egyptians coming, okay? There they were marching after them, and it says they were terrified. Why? Because, again, hopeless situation. They're standing on the banks of the Red Sea. There is no bridge anywhere, not even a toll bridge, okay? They could pay to go across. There is no way to get across this sea. And the Egyptian army is coming up fast behind them, and when they get there, they're going to die. In fact, that's what they say to Moses. Look at their expressions here. They say to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? That is about as hopeless as it gets. They're standing there saying, we're going to die. Okay? Now, I'll tell you just the difference between hopeless and things that aren't really hopeless, but sometimes we might express. Several years ago when Tommy South and I were over in Ukraine, and of course it's the middle of the winter time, and we had hired a driver to take us to the various places that we were going to go. And in the winter time in Ukraine, there is snow that is packed deep upon everything, and especially the roads. And this guy that we had hired, Tommy and I were sitting in the very back seat of this van. And this guy is driving, and he's making his own roads, okay? I mean, you know, he's just going, and he's not going slow either. He's going fast down these roads, and there are cars coming, and people just kind of, you know, we would say they know how to drive in the snow, all right? I was scared. And I'm sitting back there, and back then, this is before we had all the cell phones. I had my day book, and I took it out, and I started writing my will. Okay? And I start writing this, you know, and I turned and I reached over and I showed it to Tommy, and he looked at it and he looked back at me and gave me this kind of a strange look, and I just said, we're going to die. Yeah, we're going to die right here. You know, it was one of those situations. Now, it was all kind of in fun and in jest. You know, it was serious the way this guy was driving. We got there safely. Obviously, I didn't die, right? Okay. But sometimes we feel that way, though, don't we? We're going to die. And that's how the Israelites felt. But it was for them real. We're going to die. So much so that they said, we were better off back in Egypt. That's how desperate and how hopeless they felt. There is no way out of this situation. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. That's how desperate they felt. We would rather have been left alone and be in slavery than to be out here free. We're going to die. Moses responds to the Israelites' hopelessness and despair in this way. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Now, in this statement, there are three things that Moses says to them that I want to focus on for just a few minutes. Okay, three things. Notice the first thing that he says here, do not be afraid. We're going to talk about this in just a second, but fear, that's one of our biggest enemies, isn't it? And notice that's the first thing that Moses says. When we feel hopeless, mainly the reason we do is because of fear starts coming in. And Moses says, don't be afraid. The second thing that he says is, stand firm. And the third thing is, be still. Okay? Do not be afraid. Stand firm and be still. And that's what I want us to focus on for just a few minutes here this morning. But here's the thing I want you to keep in mind. If you don't think that God can get you to the other side of whatever situation you are focused on, then your God is too small. Okay? Your God is too small. Because God can bridge the gap. If we will not be afraid, stand firm and be still. Okay? What we're talking about here this morning is really this. It is standing against the tide of hopelessness. Not giving into it. Not giving up. Because the situation or the circumstance we face, it seems so bad that that's what we want to do is just give up. But no, we've got to stand against that. And allow God to carry us to the other side. Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, quoted from the prophet Isaiah. And this is what he had to say. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And you know, when people are hopeless, when they're in the pit of despair, that's darkness, isn't it? And Jesus comes to tell us, when you're living in darkness, look to me. I've got the light that will show you the way. Okay? So we need to find ourselves allowing Jesus to take us out of the darkness of hopelessness and despair and bring us into His light. How do we do that? We listen to what Moses told the Israelite people. First of all, don't be afraid. Okay? Do not be afraid, he said. You know, fear has a way of kind of wrapping us up and tangling us up so that we can't really do what we need to be doing. In a sense, what it does is it paralyzes us, okay, into inaction. We get so afraid that we can't do anything. Sometimes we're afraid to do the wrong thing, so guess what we typically do? Nothing. And that's really the wrong thing, okay? All right? But the idea is that fear sometimes can paralyze us so that we don't do what we need to do. And ultimately what happens is that keeps us from being able to serve out God's purpose in our lives. So Moses says, first of all, look, don't be afraid. God had a purpose for the Israelite people. And it certainly was not to bring them out into the wilderness and die. He had a much greater purpose than that, didn't he? Okay? And that purpose goes all the way back to the promise that he had made to Abraham. Through you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And they went into Egypt as a family and they came out as a nation, and God had a purpose for that nation. But in order for that purpose to be fulfilled, they needed to not be afraid. Fear is also a liar. Okay? Fear lies to us. All right? Look at what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Now, here's the interesting thing about this passage. The word fear in the original language literally means this: cowardice. Okay? Cowardice. Which, you know, many of us probably can relate it back to this guy, right? You know, where we're just kind of trembling in our boots, kind of fear, cowardice, that there's no way. And Paul says that's not the spirit that comes from God. God didn't give you that spirit. So if you have a spirit of fear and timidity, it didn't come from God. It comes from Satan. Okay? Instead, here's what the Bible tells us about our God. I want you to read this with me. Paul says, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Wait a minute, stop right there. How much? Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's the God that we have. Say, a God who can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Well, just stop and think about it for just a moment. The problem the Israelites had is they were stuck between a soft place, that is the water, okay, and the Israelite army, okay? But they saw no way out of this problem. Who in their wildest imagination would have come up with God's solution to that problem? And notice what it was that God commanded. Tell the Israelites to move on. Now, just stop and let that sink in for a moment. Put yourself there in the shoes of the Israelites for a moment. And they're here, and God is telling Moses, tell the Israelite people to move on. And they're probably standing there going, where? Where? There's water ahead and the Egyptian army's behind. Where do we move on to? And God says, raise your staff, and the waters will depart, and they will cross over on what? On dry ground. On dry ground. That was immeasurably more than all they could ask or imagine. You see, that was God's solution to their hopelessness. And that's why Moses was able to say to them, don't be afraid. And we might say that today in our language. We might say, God's got this. Okay? God's got this. Don't worry about it. I like this. This is just another translation or another way of saying that passage. God can do, and you just fill in all of these amazing things, the way that God can do more than we ask or imagine. See? when you find yourself lost in the darkness and despair, remember it's only in the black of night that you see the stars. Okay? If you haven't seen a sky full of stars lately, get out of the city and go out to the country. See? Where it's what? Dark. The reason you don't see the stars in the city is because there's too many lights around. Say, go out to the country and see the stars. That's where I think more than anything we can find ourselves looking more for God when we're in the darkness. When there's light all around us, it's like, you know, yeah, God, I remember talking to Him once in a while. But we're in the dark when we tend to really need and rely on Him so much more. Okay? Then he says the second thing is stand firm. Okay? Do not be afraid. Stand firm. Okay? Our tendency when trouble comes and when we find ourselves in a hopeless situation is to want to do this. We want to run and hide. I don't want to face whatever it is I'm having to face. I don't see any way out of this, so I'm just going to hide from it. And we can do that either physically or emotionally or mentally or spiritually. We can just run and hide. And that's often what we do. But Moses says to the people, and notice something very important in this, stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. You know, one of the reasons that we feel so hopeless at times is because, again, we're looking at it and trying to figure out what we can or can't do about whatever the problem is. We're looking at our own solutions. What we need to do is start allowing the Lord to be the one who's going to deliver us. Look for His solutions. See? Instead of running and hiding from whatever is going on, we need to allow the Lord to bring us the deliverance that He has chosen for us. Now, having said that, keep in mind this one important thing. The Lord's deliverance may not necessarily be what you want, okay, or what you asked for. Are you hearing me? You see, it's His deliverance, not yours. And so often, I think one of the reasons that we feel so hopeless and in despair is because we've already got in our mind what the solution needs to be. And in fact, oftentimes, and maybe you found yourself doing this, we're praying, saying, Lord, if You'll just... And we tell Him what we want Him to do. And then I'll so-and-so. We make bargains with God that way, don't we? But we've presented God with our solution and said, God, just work this out. And so when that doesn't happen, then we're blinded to whatever God's solution is. We can easily miss it because we're too focused on what our solution is. Remember, Moses said, you will see the Lord's deliverance. So we have to understand and we have to allow that God is going to work it out, but He's going to work it out the way He chooses to work it out. And guess what? Since He's God, He gets to do that. Okay? He gets to do that. But the message there is we need to stand firm. Okay? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 tells us about spiritual warfare. And beginning in verse 10, he tells us to stand firm and that we're getting ready to fight Satan. He tells us, he identifies who the enemy is. And then beginning in verse 14, he starts this list of the pieces of armor that God has provided to us so that we can defend ourselves and fight in spiritual warfare. And the very first thing that he says is this: stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Stand firm with truth. We already mentioned about this whole idea of hopelessness and all that being fear is all about lies, isn't it? Well, the way to conquer that is with the truth. And that's why God has given us that piece of armor, the belt of truth, so that we can see His truth in His Word. We can find hope in whatever circumstance and situation we're finding ourselves in. So stand firm. It's the same message. Stand firm. Don't give up. Don't run and hide. Stand firm. Stand firm in God's truth. And finally, He says, be still. Now, we need to understand something here. Be still is not don't do anything. Okay? He's not telling us, don't move. All right? Don't do anything. Don't have any action. That's not what He's saying here. He says, be still, okay? And really, more than anything, what that has to do with is this peace that we need to feel to come over us. You say, well, wait a minute. I'm in a hopeless situation. You want me to be at peace? Yes. Yes. That was the message that God gave to the Israelites, and that's the message He gives to us. Be still. You see, because when we feel in those hopeless situations, so often don't we find ourselves just being anxious and being restless and all those kinds of things? Trying to figure out what are we going to do? And God's message is, be still. Be at peace. Be at peace. When I know that God's already got a solution to it, what do I need to worry about? Okay? When I'm willing to accept His solution. Be still. Okay? Be still. Come on. Come on up there. There we go. Notice that He says here, who's going to do the fighting? The Lord. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Be at peace. Don't be restless. Don't be running around like the old proverbial chicken with his head cut off, not knowing what in the world you're doing. Be still. Because the Lord is fighting for you. Again, God's got this. Okay? The psalmist says in Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. A God who can do what? Immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. So be still. Okay? In 37 and verse 7, he says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I wonder if that's not part of our problem. A big part of it is that impatience. You know? Be still and wait patiently for Him. We don't want to wait. We want it taken care of now. The psalmist reminds us, wait patiently for Him. Be still. So what's the message there? Be at peace. Be still. Whatever the struggle is, whatever the hopeless situation you may find yourself in, be still. Be still. God's already got it worked out. So there's no reason for you to be afraid. Right? No reason whatsoever. But you need to stand firm. Don't run and hide. And you need to be still. Because ultimately, here's what the issue is. If you don't think that God can bridge the gap, that is, get you to the other side of whatever situation that you're facing in your life, then your God is too small. Because the God that we have is the God of the universe, and nothing is too big for Him to handle. If we will not be afraid, if we will stand firm and be still. Jesus is the only one, by the way, that can bridge that gap. Ray has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. We're going to stand in just a moment to sing that song together as an encouragement to us. While we're singing that song, just let me ask you and just think about you know, maybe there's somebody here this morning that you're facing some hopeless situations or circumstances in your life that you're just feeling that you're living right on the corner of despair and hopelessness, and you don't know what to do. Well, now's a great time to find some encouragement, some guidance to help you to do those three things we've been talking about. To stand firm, okay? To not be afraid, and to be still. If we can help you to do that, then come up and let us know. Okay? There may be somebody here this morning who's not yet a Christian because you haven't given your life to Christ. You need to understand that you are lost, separated from God by your sins. And you will be, and you'll remain there until you give your life to Him. The great news this morning is that you can do that right now. You don't have to wait. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, to be saved by Him, then call upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now this morning. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. And I'll be right up front to receive anyone who would like to come up. Let's